प्रतुंड महाकाय सूर्यकोटि समप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्
Let me welcome all of you. Welcome all of you to this morning session. Focus a little bit. Sound check. You hear it? Did you get no need for this? Okay. So, we are going to see Kaivalya Upanishad. Kaivalya actually refers to that state, absolute state. The simple meaning of that, Kaivalya. It refers to the absolute state. Absolute state means what? All the state that we know is relative state. There are only two things like that. One is called relative and the other is called absolute. So, in the relative, everything is limited. Relative means everything is limited. Absolute means limitless. There is no limit to that reality. So actually what is speaking about is reality only. Kaivalya. Kaivalya Upanishad. See, Kaivalya comes from Kevala. It's a pratyaya of Kevala. Kevala means alone. Alone means what? There is only one thing. If there are two things, the first one limits the second one. But where there is only one thing, there is nothing to limit that. So that is limitless. It is called the one and only thing. There is no second thing. That is called as absolute. Huh? Where there is only one thing, infinite. All of these words refer to one thing only, the infinite. So it is speaking about the infinite state. We know finite, relative, limited, conditioned state. Now, if we are able to sit, and we'll see in Upanishad also, very quietly and go inside, transcend all limitations of body, mind, intellect, then we will be able to, as we say, dissolve in that state. There's like a little drop of water dissolving in the ocean. He will never know what dropness is after that, isn't it? Little dropness. Kaivalya Upanishad deals with this topic. Huh? And it starts a very famous prayer. Many of you will be knowing that prayer also. Let us see. For those who don't know this small prayer, I'll chant it. You can repeat after me. Bhadram Karnevi Shrinyama Deva. How many people know it already? Most people know it, and some don't. So then I'll have to chant and you'll repeat for those who don't know. Those who know, you get a second dose. Okay, Pada will do, piece by piece. Om Bhadram Karne Bhishrinuyam Devaha.
Bhadram Karne Vishnuyam Devaha.
Bhadram Pashye Makshavir Yajatraha.
Bhadram Pashye Makshavir Yajatraha.
Sthirai Rangai Stushtuvagm Sastanubhihi.
Sthirai Rangai Stushtuvagm Sastanubhihi.
Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu.
Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu.
Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha.
Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha.
Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha.
Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha.
Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu.
Swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu.
So it is in this prayer there are two parts. One part is praying for my all ears and eyes and everything to see what is auspicious, hear what is auspicious, all that. Bhadram karne vishrinuyam deva. May my ears hear that which is auspicious. But in this world, how will you hear? Only, there are so many things in this world. The moment you put on the TV, you hear all inauspicious things only. Going on here, going on there, this one, and all beheading, and this world, what a terrible world it is. So, two meanings are there for that then. One meaning is, may I stay away from all those inauspicious things. Limit them. I need not engage. See, I need not find myself in some place where... See, look here. There are some musical concerts where they sing all crazy things only. Inauspicious things. Why should I find myself there? So just stay away from that. I go to some musical concert where they're singing bhajans. Auspicious. Second meaning. Look here. Anything that we see in this world, anything that we can't hear in the back. Sound. You have to increase, find the volume button and increase. Sound check, Hari Om. Sound check. Now? Yeah. Then I look like a pop star or something. Okay, it's okay. For the more advanced seeker, this second meaning is whatever I hear in this world is only an expression of the reality only. So, that thing cannot be but auspicious. Because it's the expression of God. So, I can see that whatever it is going on in the world, it is happening by His grace, His law of karma, His whatever is happening. And so, that has to be auspicious. But it's for a more advanced person. For a neophyte, I only go to those places where I will hear auspicious things. I stay away from the other thing. Bhadram karne vishrinuyam devaha. O deva, may my ears only hear. The prayer to the devas. May my ears only hear auspicious things. Bhadram karne vishrinuyam. Bhadram pashyema akshavidyayatraha. And may my eyes see that which is auspicious. Same meaning will come again. Two meanings. That whatever I see in this world is Bhagwan only. So it has to be auspicious. See, look here. The Lord participated in the Mahabharata war or not. And He directed Arjuna what to do and what not to do. And some of that included removing his Kauravas, and also there was killing on the battlefield. But that also is auspicious because it is good for Dharma. It protects Dharma. So I have to be able to see all things as auspicious. This is the higher meaning. Other thing is I stay away from all these inauspicious things in the world. And I just see that which is auspicious. Sthirai rangai stushtu vagam sastanubihi. And may all my angas, limbs and all be strong, because I have to study Vedanta. How I will get up and come here 6-7 in the morning if my limbs are not strong? I have to study Vedanta, so my limbs should be strong. And may I worship the gods with my body and serve them. Yashema devahitam yada yuhu. And may I live the full length of my life. I should live all the way down to the end so I can study, not just live to enjoy. Live to study Vedanta. This is an important thing. Swastina Indro Vidhashavaha. May Indra and all the gods bless us. Brihaspati, Swastina Pusha Vishvedaha. Pusha is God, Sun, the Lord Sun, who is Vishvedaha, we know of all things. You see, Sun represents the absolute reality, who is the repository of all knowledge. Because Sun is light, and light and knowledge, they always, light always represents knowledge. Sun brightens up the whole world, and so knowledge also, if we get to it will enlighten us. Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi swastino brihaspati dadatu. And brihaspati and tarkshya, vayu, they all bless. May all the elements and all the different great powers of the universe bless me so that I can continue on this path of Vedanta. So this is prayer, briefly. Prayer itself is a very elaborate thing. But we are here to study Upanishads. We will not finish if we stay there. Alright. Now, see this Upanishad is very nice. And very brief, succinct, right to the point it is. Now, see this first mantra, how it starts. A little story is there. Brief story, nothing elaborate. Om Athashvalayanaha.
Om Athashvalayanaha.
Bhagavantam.
Bhagavantam.
Parameshthinam.
Parameshthinam.
Upasameti.
Upasameti.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
That is, Sandhi is there, the words are all joined up together. So I am just breaking up the words so that you will know what they are. Atha Ashvalayana. Upasameti. This is the sentence. Ashvalayana. Upasameti. Ashvalayana went. He went. To Bhagavantam Parameshthinam, the Supreme Lord Brahmaji. He went to Brahmaji and Uvacha, he said. And two very important words now. Atha. One word. Atha means many meanings are there. Atha means thereafter, henceforth, then, like that. Then what? Thereafter what? Nothing is given in Upanishad. It means this Ashva. Ashvalayana, after having made himself fit, after having really studied all the scriptures and practiced all the great virtues and values and all such things, introducing himself to all the scriptures and all, and practicing all the virtues and values and all, making himself a fit student. See, look here, how you'll end up in university? Only after making yourself fit for that, na? There is a meaning of atha. After having making himself fit to really ask a question to Brahmaji. Because he asked something. You see, a student from a primary school cannot go to a university professor and ask, tell me, what are the basic principles of quantum mechanics? A student in primary school doesn't even know the word quantum mechanics and all, isn't it? So he has to really study over a long period of time what about quantum mechanics, and there has to be things in quantum mechanics which he doesn't understand. Then only he can ask that question, isn't it? So he has to really prepare himself from primary school and high school and, you know, keep going up and study this thing well, introduce himself to all the basic concepts and ideas, and then something has to be unclear. If everything becomes clear, then there is no question also. Something has to be unclear, something he wants to know further, and then only he asks this professor, please tell me what is it, you know. So it means Ashvalaya really had introduced it, like Arjuna in Gita also. You see there, Arjuna is asking Bhagavan some questions. It means to say Arjuna has heard about this thing before. If I have not heard, I know this thing has not tickled my intellect somehow. Then nothing to wonder, then what question you will ask. But if you wonder, oh, I heard this thing, you know. And I heard some word mentioned, like in 8th chapter and all. I heard, you know, when people chant the name of Bhagwan, in the end they get moksha. That's true. How it happens? He wants to know. So we have to be introduced to the ideas and concepts. So this Ashwalayana, he was introduced to Vedanta, introduced to this higher science. And so he went to Brahmaji and he asked. No. Second thing, I told you there are two things. One is Atha, thereafter. Then, if you notice in this first line, he doesn't do any namaskar to Brahmaji. Somebody goes to some great guru, they do namaskar, na? And here he goes to the Lord who manifests the universe also, and he doesn't do any namaskar and all. So he said, oh, what a, this student has no respect, reverence, no nothing. How will he learn? So in the second word is that, upasameti. In this word, wonderful ideas are there. Upasameti. It means upasamyaketi. Samyaketi means he went well. He went close to Brahmaji, and he went samyak means he went in the proper manner. Like that. He went well. Proper manner means what? If he goes before Brahmaji, he must. So the prostration is hidden in that word. It's called sutra form actually. The prostration that he's supposed to do and the reverence that he's supposed to show, it is hidden inside the word. Eti actually means he goes. Eti. Goes to Brahmaji. But if one puts in front of there, or the Rishi puts in front, upa and sam and then eti. They're called upasarga. So that means he went in the proper way. And upa means he went close. Close means what? That also shows reverence. How I feel that Brahmaji is somebody close to me. He's dear to me. So he replied to my question. So he went with reverence. And samyak means he really did what he was supposed to do. It means he went so well. He didn't just go there rashly or didn't go there with, you know, disrespect or anything. He went in the proper way. And in the proper way, in the Upanishads, at other places, he said, Samit Panihi Shrutriyam Brahmanishtam. Means he, Samit Panihi means he goes with something in his hand. We don't go empty handed. So he may have taken a flower for Brahmaji and told Brahmaji, I brought this flower for you. I know you created it, but still I brought it. No. I brought it for you. Like the flower would have been created by Brahmaji only, isn't it? Created and manifested. So he went very well with great reverence and, you know, affection and all, and prostrated to Brahmaji, and then Uvacha means he asked. Now what he asked, that now we'll see. Ashwalayana, great Rishi of the Vedas himself, you'll see Gurudev note. So that means he knows all about this higher science of Vedanta. Then he tells a very nice thing. Now we try to repeat again. Adhihi Bhagavan Brahma Vidyam Varishtham.
Adhihi Bhagavan Brahma Vidyam Varishtham.
Sada Sadbhi Sevyamanam Nigudham.
Sada Sadbhi Sevyamanam Nigudham.
Yaya Chirat Sarva Papam Vyapohya.
Yaya Chirat Sarva Papam Vyapohya.
Parat Param Purusham Yati Vidvan.
Parat Param Purusham Yati Vidvan.
Okay, so he tells it. Adhihi. Arjuna uses this Shadimam Tvam Prabhana. Adhihi means same thing. Oh Prabhu, please teach me. Adhihi. Adhihi, Bhagavan. Oh Lord, teach me. Then it shows what? See, even though he's such a great Rishi of the Vedas who gave so many mantras of the Vedas and all, when he comes before Brahmaji, he realizes Brahmaji is the great manifester of the universe. And he is the first one who gave, he manifested knowledge also. Na? If he manifested this universe, he means he manifested everything. So,
before that Brahmaji, when he says Atihi, it shows that he has also humbled himself and he realizes that his knowledge is nowhere near the knowledge of Brahmaji. And therefore, please teach me. You are such a great teacher of the universe, manifester of all things. You please teach me. But teach me what? It says Brahmavidya Varishtham. The supreme Brahmavidya. So, there is relative knowledge in the world and there is absolute knowledge. So he wanted to know this absolute knowledge. Please teach me this Brahmavidya, which is called as Varishtham, means highest, most sacred. Sada sadhi sevyamana nigurha. Nigurha means it is very deep and profound, hidden. Nigurha. Actually, the real meaning of the nigurha from a simple level will be it is subtle. Something which is gross we know very easily. Nah? Somewhere I just went recently and there was a watch and then numbers on that watch, you know, big numbers. So those people who wear glasses, they don't need to wear glasses to see that watch. Big numbers are there. No, very gross thing. Now suppose that those numbers are very fine, you need a magnifying glass and all to see them. So it becomes less discernible by the five senses. That is called as subtle. So, the five senses, now we can see watch and table and microphone and gross things, you know. The senses can perceive them. Now see the thoughts in my mind. You can see them. They call it subtle. So whatever the senses really cannot perceive, that they call it subtle. And then in subtle also they are subtle, subtler, subtlest and all goes, you know. So, nigura means that thing. It's so deep. It is hidden from the senses. Senses really cannot see them. So my thoughts and then behind the thoughts, all the vasanas and all. Because everybody will think different type of thoughts based on vasanas. Na? If I have a habit of trading on the stock exchange, right? That I develop a habit vasana for that thing. So whole day, the type of thoughts that will be coming in my mind. Which stock's going up today? At least the New York Stock Exchange is going to go up or down. Because of my vasana, those thoughts will come. Hey, your vasana, the other person, he's studying horse racing. There's some big races there in New Zealand, you know. I should get that channel that carries that only. So look what he's thinking. Now the other one he's thinking, oh, I should, everybody talks about Tirupati, you know, I've never been there. I should go to Tirupati. First I'll try Tirupati. Yeah. Then if Tirupati doesn't work, I'll try Pashupati. If Pashupati doesn't work, then I'll try Homeopathy. Or Allopathy or something. But he thinks about the other things. That's all based on vasana. So the thoughts that for that person, the thoughts are the more gross things. The vasanas, they are the more subtle things. Because he doesn't see his vasana. He only knows when the thoughts come. Oh, these might be my vasanas. That's even more subtle. You can't even know vasanas until we see the effect. We don't know that I have this vasana until I see the effect. So the effect is more gross. The cause is more subtle like that. So this knowledge is beyond that, those vasanas also. It is the subtlety, even if I don't know my vasana, which is so subtle. Think about the thing which is beyond the vasana, how subtle that is. Like, take a sword. Sword is gross. You can take a sword and cut some cloth, cut some piece of wood or something, right? But can you take a sword and cut this face? What it will cut? Because the space is subtler than the sword. There is meaning of subtle. Eh? You have to understand this word. It's a very technical word in Sanskrit. A very important word. In Vedanta. Subtle and gross. So this reality is so subtle, beyond all our senses and mind and intellect and everything, transcends all of them. So he says, that is here we call Niguram. So all of these are adjectives to that Brahma Vidyam. Brahma Vidya is supreme knowledge of the absolute reality. We call it Niguram, Varishtham. It is Sada Sadhi Sevyamana. That knowledge is all the time sought by all the Sadhi, by the Satpurush. Satpurush means Sajjan, good sadhus, sevaks and saints and sages and sadhaks and all of those words start with S. They seek this knowledge. I mean, they always aspire for this. This is all I want to know. I've known too much about this world, and the more I know about this world, the more I know that I don't know. If you've done a PhD, then you know how many things you don't know, because a PhD zeroes in on only one little thing. And there are so many complex things he doesn't know. So how, when you finish knowing things about this world, they know. And one more thing, you know, even what you think you know about this world, really it is wrong. Because any scientist that discovers something today, in 10 years some other scientists come and they say it is wrong. It's not right. Light goes in a straight line. No, they tell you it is wrong. So many things they used to tell us when we were in school. Now they're telling you all wrong. So then what do you know about this world? So better transcend this world and go to absolute knowledge only. So that knowledge, he goes, see what a great value Ashwalayana has for this knowledge. He goes to Brahmaji, and this is one more important thing you're saying in this. You have to see between the lines also. Eh? He doesn't go there and tell Brahmaji, ask Brahmaji some foolish question, you know, please tell me about this thing and how do they make electricity from hydro power. That you could go to the library or go to Google, you'll find out. You go to Brahmaji and ask something, you could find out on Google. No need. You ask the highest question, the best. It's the most wonderful. Tell me about that thing which all these sadhaks and saints and sages, they seek. Sada sadhi sevyamanam niguram, the subtle Brahma Vidya, which is highest. Yaya achirat. Sarva papam vyapo here, and he has heard all of this, that by knowing which all sins are destroyed immediately. And then when the person discovers this absolute reality, all sins are destroyed. All sins are destroyed means what? See, it means to say that all the result of sin is what? Sorrow. All sorrows are destroyed, and sorrow is actually caused by limitation. So wherever there is limitation, there is sorrow. You see, the human being, he has desire for this thing, desire for that thing, desire for the other thing, and then all desires will be fulfilled? No, few will get fulfilled. And why he has desire for this thing, that thing, the other thing? Because he sees himself as limited. I am so small, so helpless, so this, so that. And if I get this thing, then I will be complete. If I get that thing, then I will be complete. So he goes on having all of these desires because of his limitations only. Feeling of limitation. And then desires don't get fulfilled. You know, so I'm never complete. So I'm always miserable. Like that. So, Papa is really, in Sanatana Dharma, we tell you, Papa is a very broad word. In Western world, here where we live, Papa is a very simple thing. What? Yes, you don't kill and don't steal and, you know, don't covet the people's property and this and that, all things, right? That is called Papa, if you do those things. Here, Papa in Sanskrit language is a very broad word. It means anything that is less than moksha or mukti realization is called a pap. Because anything less than that is sorrow. anything that I do that keeps me away from myself, that thing is called a paap. I mean, if I hold myself to be this body, that is keeping me away from myself. So that holding myself to be the body, that is paap. Because it is going to bring sorrow eventually. So it's a broad term, paap. And to hold myself to be the absolute reality is to relinquish that paap. But when I know that I am that absolute reality, sarva paapam, yapo, here all paapas are removed, means all limitations are removed. And no sarva para param purusham yati vidvan. And that wise person, knowing this reality, goes to the supreme state. Supreme state means supreme state of bliss, supreme state of joy, peace, tranquility, supreme state of infinitude. There is no none of the sorrows of this finite world. So now there are two things. One is, as I am living in this finite world, I have to go on finding out how to live the best. You know, suppose you have to live among thieves and murderers and all. You find yourself among thieves and murderers. But you know, quickly you have to study. Well, look, I better do as they say or they do. Because if I do otherwise, then I'll not live also. So I have to quickly figure out what their mental makeup is. And, usually at home, in my house, I will scream at this one and scream at that one, but I better don't scream at these thieves and robbers, you know, murderers. Because if I scream at them, that will be my last scream. So I find myself in that situation. I quickly have to learn how to live in that situation. In the very same way, I found myself in this world. I have to learn how to live in this world so as to create least friction and trouble and all of that thing. I have to learn how to live in the world. So while doing that also, I have to now seek the higher reality. Now see, if I am always finding myself in doing things which is only creating friction, problem, sorrow, misery, this, that, how I will seek reality? I am always finding myself in trouble only. So I make those type of choices which will make my life trouble free. That will really allow me now to seek the higher reality. Therefore, we say stay away from this thing, stay away from that thing, stay away from the other thing. Control speech, control what we eat, control our actions. He says there in Gita, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta means I have to make sure that I control, you know, all the things that I engage. Ahara and vihara, food and recreation and activity and all. And all my efforts and all should be in the right direction. Instead of wasting time here, wasting. So like that, I go on living in this world very harmoniously. So that will allow me to pursue the higher reality. This is the idea. To be like this Ashwalayana also is such a elevated state. So for all of us, we first learn how to live properly in this world, do the right thing, make the right choices and all, and make ourselves fit for that state. So Ashwalayana has done all of this. Therefore he wants this absolute knowledge now from Brahmaji. He's prepared himself well. He's lived well. You see? So making the right choices on a daily basis. Eh? This is, he goes to Brahmaji and he asks this most wonderful favor from Brahmaji. Please teach me. Adhihi. No, Brahmaji replied, Tasmai Saho Vacha.
Tasmai Saho Vacha.
Pitamahascha.
Pitamahascha.
Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogad Avaihi.
Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogad Avaihi.
Tasmai sa hovacha. Sa here we refer to Brahmaji. Brahmaji ha hovacha. Tasmay. Brahmaji spoke to him. To whom? Ashwalaya. Huh? Brahmaji is also one of the adjectives. Pitamaha. Pitamaha means Brahmaji, the great grandfather of the universe. You don't know great grandfather, he means the great progenitor of the universe. Then what he says to this Ashwalaina, Avaihi. Avaihi means you know, you understand, you grasp. Come to this realization, Avaihi, of this reality. How? Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana, Yoga. He gives three words. You come to this reality, know this reality, discover this reality through Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana. How? Now see, he doesn't say you come to this reality by Gyan. And Upanishad is about Gyan. He says Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana. So what it means is after having acquired this knowledge from the teacher, I must do dhyan on that knowledge with shraddha and bhakti. That is the idea. Knowledge is actually central to Upanishad. I have to acquire that knowledge and then meditate on that knowledge with shraddha and bhakti. So that knowledge is left out from this phrase here. So what is this telling? This is just telling the required state of mind that I must have when I am meditating on that knowledge. The knowledge will come just now in the next following verses and all. The rest of the Upanishad is that knowledge only. But it's telling me from before itself, now what type of state of mind that I should have. If my mind doesn't have Shraddha and Bhakti, then Dhyan also will, you know what it will be? Dhyan will be calculation only. I close my eyes and I sit down and I calculate. And if people calculate all sorts of things, well, in Dhyan, we calculate all, and people even go so far as to calculate, when I get realization, what I'll do? All sorts of calculation goes on there. You see, planning, calculation and planning. And then, pray. Whole number of things goes on there. Because proper knowledge is not there, Shraddha and Bhakti, they are not there. So in this meditation becomes calculation and planning only. Now what is this Shraddha, you know? Gurudev says here one nice thing. Says, Shraddha is a state of the intellect, first thing. Bhakti is a state of the mind or heart. And Dhyan is combination of both of them. This has to be studied a little bit, very nicely said. So let's study Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. See, we, every moment of our life, we live with faith in that life. Just we really don't think about it. But there is faith every step of our life. You all have faith that the engineer who constructed the roof on this house, he did a good job. And so when sitting for this lecture, the roof will not come down on my head. Come down on our head. We have so much faith in that. See all the people sitting in the plane. They are sitting there, nothing is happening. Everybody is on board already. And nothing is happening. In front there, the cockpit door is open and there is nobody. So they are waiting. So then, suddenly from the back of the plane, two blind men came with dogs. You know they have dogs? And they walk down the aisle and they walk there to the cockpit. Blind fellows. Everybody. Everybody is wondering what is going on. The cockpit door closes also. And the plane pushes back and starts up and goes down also the tarmac and down to the end of the runway, and then comes and it is coming fast speed, and the runway is coming to an end and the plane not going up. And just the runway is about to end, there's no more runway. And all the people who in one voice everybody's screaming out like anything. But just at the edge of the runway, that plane goes up. And then one blind pilot turns to the other one and says, "One of these days, nobody will scream and we'll all die." That is their cue to now see, even though they saw two blind men going there and that plane came, everybody still had so much of faith, Shraddha, all up to the end also people had. But when we go into a plane, every day we do it, we have so much Shraddha in that. You know why? Because when Gurudev says that this thing is a matter of the intellect, it is absolutely true. Shraddha is a matter of the intellect. The intellect has seen a pattern of behavior and has seen a pattern of occurrences in the universe, and we know things happen in a certain way. And based on that pattern which the intellect has experienced, yes, yesterday the sun rose in the east, so I have absolute faith that today also it will rise in the east. That is a calculated conclusion based on previous experience. And so I have Shraddha in that. It will happen like that. The roof will not come down. The plane will take off. Then called Shraddha. I have that faith that that will happen like that. Because this is something the internet has concluded. It has happened like this for the past million years, and it will continue to happen like that. So it's a matter of the intellect, really. I faith that it will happen. Then bhakti is love, devotion, reverence for the one who put the things in place like that. Like the sun rises in the east, or the earth is turning, whichever way you want to see, right? Who put it in place? Have reverence for the one who did that. Now, in the matter of the knowledge which is being given in the Upanishads here, the faith is there are so many rishis, so many great sages who have studied this knowledge and they have attained that state of enlightenment. So the Shraddha comes, yes, my guru has done it, the great sages have done it, so I know if I do it, it will happen like that. That Shraddha should be there. Then so much of reverence for Bhagwan, for the guru, for the tradition, for all the ones. Now see, we have this book here, we are able to study today. The mantra is preserved in such a unadulterated fashion over the years. It has come down to us. That's only because of the great work of so many great rishis, isn't it? How it is here today after so many thousands and thousands of years. So our great reverence and love and devotion to all of the great rishis of this tradition who brought it down. If I don't have this type of reverence and then the faith, those two things, my dhyan will not be of any use. My meditation will not be of any use. Then that meditation will be calculating only. I'll sit there and calculate and plan and all sorts of other things. Mind will be going everywhere. So great faith in this knowledge will really bring this realization to me. And great reverence for the Guru and for Bhagwan, for his tradition, Sampradaya. Shankaracharya speaks of the Sampradaya in his Bhashya. He is very, very reverential towards a Sampradaya. Sampradaya is a very important thing. Sampradaya means, now see, we belong to a Sampradaya. Our we are taught by our Gurudev, our Gurudev was taught by his guru was taught by his gurus, like that. This is sampradaya. Otherwise, a self-taught person is a very dangerous person. You have to run away from that person. Dangerous thing. So a self-taught person can only proceed in being self-taught if he has a strong ego. It is that ego which takes him. And he learns also, but that knowledge has at its base a very strong ego. He doesn't, because he doesn't belong to any sampradaya. With that strong ego, he's able to learn this and learn that and memorize this and know and get so much of knowledge. But in the sampradaya, that knowledge is given and the ego is also thinned out. The ego is also eroded, yes, in that sampradaya. So, through this sampradaya, he learns and he now is able to meditate because he has great Shraddha and Bhakti. So he says, through Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana, I now meditate on that knowledge. These are the requirements for the knowledge to become mine. Otherwise, the knowledge will not become mine. It will just be book knowledge. I'm carrying it in my head and I can tell it also. But really, it has not made any difference in my life. So, Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana, Yoga, Avaihi, you know this reality, know this truth by Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana. Now, it tells other requirements also about this reality, about which we must have to attain this reality. And it glorifies and praises this reality. Very famous verse that all of you chant every day also. Now see this. Na karmana na prajaya. Dhanena tyagena.
Dhanena tyagena.
Ekena.
Ekena.
Amritatvam ashuhu.
Amritatvam ashuhu.
Parena nakam.
Parena nakam.
Nihitam guhayam.
Nihitam guhayam.
Vibhrajate.
Vibhrajate.
Yad yatayo vishanti.
Yad yatayo vishanti.
Okay. So, this knowledge is not to be attained by karma, na karmana. Amritatvam anashuhu means this knowledge is not to be attained by karma. First thing, na karmana, na prajaya, not by having lot of progeny. Then how it is to be known? Next one again. Not dhaniena, not by wealth. We cannot buy our way into reality, you know. Pay our way into. You could pay for most things in this world. In fact, you could pay for anything in this world. Nowadays, you could buy anything. You could buy an island, you could buy land and buy water. Buy space. We buy space also, no? I'm paying for this much? Office space. You could buy space, air, fire, water, earth. But you cannot buy reality. In fact, only because of reality, buying is possible. Then, so, na karmana, na prajaya. So, what all the reality is not to be. Karma here means by rituals. By rituals, we cannot know reality. By no stroke of action also we cannot know reality. Any time of action, karma. Because it is not something that is objective. Karma can only attain something which is objective. See, by karma I can work and do some good actions and all and get this watch. One man took his watch to a watch repair shop. Watch repair man. So he told him, that man said, please repair this watch, it's not working. That man told, no, it is no use repairing this watch. It will cost you twice as much as what you pay for it to repair it. Better you buy another one. So So your max is twice as much?
No, you're a bit.
So then I said, okay then.
So he repaired that watch. After 2 days, the man came back. So you repaired? He said, yes, I repaired. So he showed it. It was working. He took it. And he gave that fellow 2 slaps and walked away. So then the man said, oh, hey, what is the matter with you? What is this? He said, well, you told it will cost twice as much as what I paid for it to repair. I had given one man 1 slap and I got it. So to repair it, you said twice as much, take 2 slaps. What silly thing. By that karma, so 1 slap you get a watch, 2 slap you get a repaired watch. The karma, you can get anything like that, whichever good karma or bad karma, we can get things in this world. But by karma, we cannot forget this reality. This is the idea. Na karmana. We cannot achieve this reality by karma. Because, you know, had the reality not been there, that karma also will not be possible. The reality is that because of the presence of which the karma also is possible. So actually, it is by relinquishing karma, I will remain in reality. That is the idea. Na karmana, na prajaya. Many people used to feel in the old days, you could see how strong this tradition had this belief that it has to be in the Upanishad also. Many people used to feel if I have a son, that by that son, I will get moksha. This has to be a really archaic and foolish belief of the old days. So the Upanishad has to tell us, no, by any son or this or that, you will not get any moksha. If the son gets moksha, the son gets moksha. Oh, what that has to do with you? So if you eat my belly, you become full. No. So, na prajaya, na dhanena, not by, then by what? Tyagena ekena amritattva shuru. That only by tyag. So I just now was telling. If I relinquish action, here action means doership. I feel that I am a doer. It is that doership. I feel that I am a doer. I did this, I did the other thing. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is telling very nicely that prakritehe kriyamana. If prakriti is doing everything, ahankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. It is a delusion to think that I am the doer. Everything is going on by prakriti only. So I give up a doership, I will remain in reality. I have strong feeling that I am a doer. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. I do so many things that if I had not done it, it would not have gotten done. So without me, it would not have happened. It's delusion, eh? Without me, everything will go on just as, as it is going on. It might go on better also. I might be a hindrance, a spoken wheel. Go on nicely. Don't ever think that, without me this thing will not go on and that thing will not go on. And that is all abhimana only. So, and there are so many things related to that. When this doership is there, there are so many problems actually related with this doership. So, by renunciation alone, let me tell you something. I'm talking about renunciation of doership. That is at the deepest level. There are so many renunciation outside, little things that we cannot renounce. What to talk about doership? Karitritva bhav, bhoktritva bhav. Doership and enjoyership, that is such a deep level to give up. If I cannot give up the small things outside, how I will give up the big things? And if you don't know alphabet and you want to read encyclopedia? Like that. If I don't know alphabets itself, how I will study great scientific works and all. So I should be able to drop all little things outside.
You know, lokeshana, vitteshana, putreshana, like that. Those kind of meaning to say, see, vitteshana, for example. All possessions, this, that. We hold on very strongly. So, we put practices in our life where we can give very easily, just give it up. Anything. And sometimes a little paltry things also, little fine things that are more subtle. They are smaller but more subtle. Like, for example, I come. You have seen the Olympics and all, when they have a first place winner, second place winner, third place winner, like that. The things that they stand on, also the first one stands on the highest pedestal. Then second a little bit lower, and third is the lowest. So he stands on that third one, he feels, oh, my heart is broken. I should have been standing on that first one. That's a little thing he holds on to. Sometimes he holds on to some little prestige issues and this thing and that thing and all those ways. I should be able to drop it. When I came there, they did not give me any mala. They gave everybody mala and I did not get any mala. I tell you a true story. I was having a yagni at one place, and to my great surprise and delight and reverence and everything, some great pundit who I used to listen to when I was a child. When I was a child, we grew up listening to him on shastras and all, you know. So I had great reverence for him from childhood. So then I had not seen him or heard about him for many, many years, 20 to 25 years, 30 years or whatever. So I was having a yajna at one place and he walked in. And he came and sat there in the front. Then I continued with that yajna. I did from there where I was sitting namaskar and all, I continued with that yajna. And while continuing with yajna, I was also reflecting on the turn of the world, you know, so how the world goes and all. Growing up, I was listening to him. Now he's coming and listening to. And I was thinking, Bhagwan, it's so wonderful and all, how this world works. Only because of what I listened from him and sanskar he would have put in our mind and all of that, I continued in this path that I can reach there today, isn't it? All these thoughts were going in my mind. So then I was waiting when this lecture will get over. I ran there quickly and I did prostrations to him. And I was very happy also because I got a chance to see him after so many years. And so now, after a few minutes, I went some other place. Then one man accosted me. He said, "You're young." I was a young brahmachari, just came back from. "You're a young brahmachari. You came there and you prostrated to that pandit and I was sitting next, right next to him. I am also pandit, you never prostrated to me." He was so terribly devastated by that thing. Devastated. He insulted me like anything also. I was not devastated, I was okay. But he insulted me like anything. So I said, "Pandit, I am sorry, I really..." Because when that other Pandit walked in there, my eye was only fixed on him. And I also don't know this other person, who he is and what he is and all that kind of thing. But see how a person can get so broken and devastated by such a little thing. People have so much expectation and things of people. Now see, that thing, this fellow cannot drop such a little thing. Where is there moksha, mukti, enlightenment, this, that? Such a little thing he cannot drop. And like this, I tell you, we have so many of these little things, they're called cobwebs in the mind. We should be able to drop them. If we cannot drop, then all this thing also, this will not make any sense. All right. We'll see. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Tyagena ekena. Tyaga word is most powerful word in scripture. In Bhagavad Gita, you know, when you have a seesaw, there's a fulcrum on which it balances, na? That fulcrum there. Tyaga word is the fulcrum of shastras. All shastras are balancing on tyaga. Without that, no fulcrum, no seesaw. Nothing will balance. Okay, tomorrow we'll see.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om.